Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Edward Simon Cruz, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Biking on Campus, The Book of Mormon, and Northwestern's Media and Design Studio. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. Biking is a popular mode of transportation and hobby at Northwestern. A new club attempts to bring the activity to more students. Tilly Freed has the story.
Starting her freshman year, Sophia Flores had never ridden a bike. Now, the McCormick Jr. is working to make biking more accessible to Northwestern students as the social media manager of NU Bike Project. The club aims to build a positive biking community and give more students the opportunity to have their feet on the pedals. Biking typically has a high barrier to entry for students, as buying a bike can be expensive and time-consuming.
So the origins of it are very much rooted in like accessibility and getting people that are first-gen low-income to have access to bikes on campus.
The organization faced several challenges in the bureaucratic nature of running a club, including figuring out ASG funding and safety issues.
Like, the idea for the club was like 2 years ago.
The club was only officially recognized by Northwestern last spring.
So it did take like a long time.
The club runs a variety of events and opportunities for involvement at all skill levels. They host Sunday group rides, social events, and most importantly, bike sales. These sales are key to the club's mission of removing barriers for students.
We're one way of getting your hands on like a cheap used bike, and like since we figure out the logistics and stuff, it makes it easier for students here.
In the future, the club hopes to offer workshops on bike repair and maintenance. They also want to expand their outreach to the larger Chicago biking community.
I don't know if people really necessarily make the click between biking and activism, but like Chicago has such a rich like cycling community that also does a lot of activism.
Last spring, they volunteered with the Recyclery, a Chicago-based nonprofit that helps make bikes more affordable for residents. Flores emphasized that Bike Project is a club for bikers of all experience levels, even those who have yet to get behind the handlebars.
At the club fair, I met someone that, like, their dream has been to learn how to ride a bike, and they thought it was too late for them, and, like, just talking to them about how, like, I didn't know how to ride a bike, and now I can say that I've biked from like campus to Wisconsin, and I've biked from campus to like Indiana in like less than a year.
Bike Project has their first bike sale of the year this Saturday, the 11th at 12 p.m. on Plex Lawn. In Evanston, Tilly Freed, WNUR News.
The smash hit musical The Book of Mormon has set up shop in the Windy City for a stop on its national tour. Sophia Casa dives into the show, its history, and answers the question, why make a musical about Mormons?
Hello, my name is Elder Price, and I would
When you
like
go to the theater, you expect to see singing, dancing, a big orchestra, elaborate sets, costumes, lights, but Mormons? That's usually not typical Broadway fare. But for the past nearly 15 years, the smash hit musical The Book of Mormon has been spreading its gospel across the country and beyond, including Chicago, where it makes a stop on its national tour.
Two Mormons are about to go on their missions, and their mission takes them to Uganda. And hilarity ensues, comedy ensues.
That's Shafik Hicks, who plays the role of the general, the story's comic antagonist and warlord in the Ugandan village where the story is set.
But ultimately, it's a story about friendship and community building and acknowledging your differences, but also coming together on things you are similar on.
Book of Mormon opened on Broadway in 2011, and creators Trey Parker, Matt Stone, and Robert Lopez turned heads for making this raunchy, crass, hilarious satire and tribute to religion. But many wondered, why did the three choose to focus on Mormons of all religious groups? The answer is deeper than you might think.
For me, there was a much bigger backstory that goes well into the 19th century. And what the book tries to tease out is that, maybe surprising for many, is that Mormonism and American musical theater were really born out of the same moment. and in the same area and for similar purposes.
That's Jake Johnson, assistant professor of musicology at Oklahoma City University and author of the 2019 book, Mormons, Musical Theater, and Belonging in America.
This idea of pretending to sound like somebody you're not is so central to acting, of course, and musicals, where singing and having a voice of somebody else's is just part of the gig. But that's also a theological concept in Mormonism.
According to Johnson, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints went on to adopt the stylings and methods in American musical theater as a way of defining their faith and growing their network of believers. And in the 2010s, Mormonism seemed poised to return the favor to musical theater.
When Mitt Romney was running for president, it was a very visible moment for Mormonism. It's what scholars dubbed the Mormon moment.
And since then, the Book of Mormon has been capitalizing on this quote-unquote Mormon moment for nearly 15 years, becoming the 11th longest-running Broadway show of all time with over 5,000 performances. Present for roughly 2,000 of those performances was Northwestern alum Ben Estes, who was in the ensemble of the show from 2014 to 2020.
It was really fun to do, and like I loved doing the show every night. And it's a show, too, that like you're forced to smile for 2.5 hours, so you leave feeling really happy. Like, I don't know that I could have done Les Mis for 6 years.
And while cast members come and go, the show has largely stayed the same. But in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, the Black Lives Matter protests of 2020, and growing conversations surrounding the portrayal of race, specifically of African or African Americans, the script underwent rewrites. In an attempt to give more fleshed-out characterization and agency of the Ugandan villagers, as well as steering the narrative away from white savior territory and into a more general and inclusive message of coming together to build a better future. Here's Hicks again, one of the people who gets to perform this revised version of the show 8 times a week.
It's a really great thing to witness when something that has endured the test of time decides, hey, like, we want to continue to be relevant to the world at large. And how can we do that? How can we take these jokes and make them jokes, but not offensive? How can we take the story and, you know, again, like, make it relevant to the times that we are living in now? So for that for me is extremely, like, just gratifying as an artist to know that art can evolve and art can change.
In this day and age where shows are lucky enough to make it to 1 year in an industry as cutthroat as commercial theater, 15 is nothing to scoff at. So the question arises, why has Book of Mormon stuck with audiences for as long as it has? Here's Ben Estes again.
It simultaneously fits the mold of the Broadway show and breaks it at the same time. And I think that that's exciting for people to see. And from the beginning, it was so shocking, you know, the things that were being done on stage and said on stage hadn't really been done to that point. So then people leaving the theater, the word of mouth was like wildfire.
For Johnson, Book of Mormon reflects a portrayal of faith that hasn't been seen much anywhere in popular culture, both before and after its arrival on Broadway.
What's really interesting about the musical is that it does take a lot of shots at Mormons and they become the butt of the joke. But in the end, I think the musical does reflect on the value of belief in religion, and it does take a strong stance in support of faith. And so whether you're a Mormon or not, there's a way of seeing redemption and of seeing a real common value and at least wishing for something, believing in something at the end that's upheld. And to me, that's really refreshing, actually.
And so that poses another question. What is next for the Book of Mormon? Hicks has his prediction.
I think it will be around for another 15 years, another 4 years with this tour at least, which for me as a person who is putting their stamp on the show is extremely exciting.
The Book of Mormon runs October 14th through 19th at the CIBC Theater. For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Kesa.
Technology may be constantly advancing, yet one Northwestern facility is keeping the humanities with the digital age. Chris Kim has the story.
It's been under different names. It's supported innovative projects. Yet this department has remained, quote-unquote, a hidden enclave for nearly 50 years. Located on the second floor of Kresge Hall, Weinberg's Media and Design Studio, or MADS, serves as a technological hub for the digital humanities. Since its start, the studio's director, Matthew Taylor, describes how the department's role has evolved with the ever-changing technology.
In the 1970s, students were sitting in carrels listening to audio materials to learn languages. Then came projectors, film strips, VCRs, always some kind of technology Even before every classroom had a pewter and a projector, we were the ones wheeling in the TV carts to the classrooms.
When you enter the Media and Design Studio today, the space has familiar and unexpected study resources any student may need, from work computers with access to Adobe Suite, conference rooms for studying in peace, or even consoles for playing required video games for classes. MADS has it all. The studio also partners with specific humanities classes in Weinberg to produce access to multimedia resources like recording suites. They even allow students to check out video and podcasting equipment. Taylor, though, is still looking at what new technology the studio can bring into education, such as virtual reality.
This department has, you know, many ideas and thoughts on how that could possibly evolve and what support we could provide for that, ranging from including VR in classes to potentially using VR as for creating virtual environments for either hybrid learning or inter-institutional experiences.
But technological accessibility is more than new tools for Taylor. He also wants MADS to take on the mission of promoting digital literacy for Northwestern students.
Not everybody has those tendencies or maybe even know-hows, and I think those are things that we can help impart in addition to how do I use this camera or how do I make this video.
Whether you're looking for a quiet study spot or recording equipment, the Media and Design Studio serves as a comprehensive resource for students. For WNUR, this is Chris Kim.
The heat has made its retreat, and things are cooling down fast in Evanston. Neha Yadavali has the latest.
I'm Neha Yadavali, and welcome back to Fair Weather Friends. Each week, we give you a peek into the local and national weather. Although this is my first time reporting the weather, I wouldn't underestimate today's weather report. From Evanston, Illinois, this is Fair Weather Friends.
The weather.
It's the second week of October 2025, and things have really cooled down from prior weeks. Last week was decently warm, with temperatures in the 70s and 80s. This past week has been quite the opposite. Today's high is 66 degrees with a low of 57 for tonight. We have southwest winds at 4 miles per hour, pretty fair air quality, and 98% cloud coverage. With about 0.09 inches of precipitation and 2.5 hours of rain, it's definitely made for a cozier, wetter day. Looking ahead this weekend, we can see highs of 64 degrees on Saturday and 67 on Sunday, with lows of 55 and 58 respectively. So far, it's making out to be a sunnier yet very windy weekend, but we can look forward to no rain. According to Secret Chicago, La Niña is officially upon us. This is a weather phenomenon in which you have cooler than average sea surface temperatures causing wetter, snowier winters. This fair weather phenomenon is expected to stick around until next February, so buckle up for a long winter. That is all for this week's edition of Fair Weather Friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, lightning never strikes twice, unless it's our next episode. In Evanston, Illinois, Neha Yadavali, UNUR News.
Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Devon Horton, the former superintendent of Evanston-Skokie School District 65, was federally indicted Wednesday. His indictment includes charges of embezzlement, wire fraud, and tax fraud. Horton served as superintendent at DeKalb County School District in Georgia starting in 2023. A federal judge in Chicago temporarily banned President Donald Trump from sending the National Guard to Illinois. The Trump administration claims the National Guard is necessary to protect law enforcement. Protesters have criticized increased crackdowns on undocumented immigrants in the state. And a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas took effect today. Hamas has about 3 days to release the 48 remaining Israeli hostages held in Gaza. Israel will also release about 2,000 Palestinian people under the deal. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News, at Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, wnurnews.org. That's wnurnews.org.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Krishna Kumar, and our reporters are Tilly Freed, Sophia Kesa, Chris Kim, and Neha Yadavali. I'm Edward Simon Cruz. Catch our next newscast Monday, October 13th. Now, back to scheduled programming.